You know the words. Let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Here I go.
Where did you find in the New York fucking Post?
I have a list of things we're going to skip.
Oh,
because I'm reaching
right
breaking
into
point.
It. Right okay. into it. Okay.
We're going to skip Prince Harry being snubbed or snubbing William's peace offering amid a family crisis. Mm. We're going to skip Bahati Prinsloo joining Adam Levine at a charity event in Las Vegas amid affair accusations. We're going to skip this Emily Ratajkowski TikTok. We are going to skip Paris Hilton saying seven pet psychics said her missing dog is still alive. We're going to skip Seth Rogen wanting to smoke a joint with Barbara Streisand. We're going to skip Ed Sheeran giving Sam Smith a 6-foot marble penis statue. We're going to skip Dua Lipa and Trevor Noah saying they're just friends despite romance rumors. We're going to skip Madonna appearing to come out as gay in a TikTok. And we are going to skip Whoopi Goldberg saying The View is calmer after Meghan McCain left.
Wow, all within 45 seconds. Impressive.
Yes. We also should probably eventually skip Kim's podcast, but I know that it is important. So rather than talk about that first, let's get into Billy Eichner. So
another notable flop.
Billy Eichner had some words for the internet. So I'm just going to read you what Billy Eichner had to say.
Sure.
Last night, I snuck in and sat at the back of a sold-out theater playing Bros in L.A. The audience howled with laughter start to finish, burst into applause at the end, and some were wiping away tears as they walked out. It was truly magical. Okay, so then he went on and I believe like since deleted tweets.
Yeah, there was like a thread this was attached to or was within this, but I feel like I can't find it now.
Yeah, it's like gone.
He had a whole like preachy, like, this is what America's about or something, right?
I'm pretty sure it was like, okay. I just like love it. Okay, so like literally everything about the movie on his feed is like, this is the most important gay movie ever made, and if you don't see this movie, you are a homophobe because you hate gay people and you don't want gay people to win. Okay. So this is what it was. Box office, as we all know, has nothing to do with the quality of a movie. And tweeting about a movie you haven't actually seen is meaningless. That's just
here
bullshit.
We go.
The majority of people who see Bros really love it. Go and see it for yourself.
Oh God, here comes the cancel culture language, right? Like,
it's just a lot. Yeah. So there was like a whole thread, but I don't really know what happened to it. He deleted it. So that's sad. I was gonna make fun of it, but I think the entire purpose of his thread was basically to say that Bros flopped because homophobia and because straight people don't want to see
no,
people win.
No, I absolutely saw the same thing.
Yeah, I know
exactly what you're talking about. He definitely tweeted those things.
And while he's certainly right that straight people don't like movies about gay people, and we live in a culture that is extremely polarized around homosexuality and gender, it was funny because he took such like a moralistic, like almost like hateful approach to the community he's also demanding goes to see the movie to like prove how much they love gay people. He was like, if you saw this
gays
movie, you're valid. If you don't see this movie, you obviously have internalized homophobia and you hate gay people. And a lot of things that people were talking about with this that I found very interesting and funny was that like he also was like, okay, you saw the marketing for this, right?
Barely.
The poster is just
the
like
the movie looked awful.
The poster is like a Bruce Springsteen cover where it's like a guy with his hand in his pocket, but it's another guy's pocket, and it's also the American flag.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I see the one where it's like two guys grabbing each other's asses.
Something. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't know the American flag though.
Isn't there an American flag on it?
No, not that I can see in this picture.
Oh, okay, it's just red, so I think I just assumed Americana. I mean,
there is red, white, and blue imagery, you could say.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. It was like the Bruce
Definitely
Springsteen,
not.
like Born in the USA kind of vibes.
Absolutely.
But anyways, so like, it like did fine. It didn't do great, but like,
Well, no, it flopped. I mean, they expected like 10 times
the
more
marketing,
money than
which
they
I
made.
Think has been the focus of all this, was literally like, this is the most important first gay movie ever made, and you have to go see it. And then he said those weird things about, like, you know, streaming garbage, which essentially was what he said, if it's not necessarily the literal words he used. Yes. Like, he's just had like a bunch of press fumbles, and rather than just being like, here's my fun movie that we made full of a bunch of people you like T.S. Madison. Mm-hmm. He was like, this is a big, important movie that is a cultural event.
That's what I'm saying. He's turning to the cancel culture language. He's like, this is bigger than us. This is like about borders and dimensions.
I also love
conversations.
I also love that he's like, this is the most important movie ever made. And also, this is a cultural event when it hasn't happened yet. Like, you don't get to decide that your thing is a cultural event.
And also,
the only person who gets to decide anything they do is a cultural event is Beyonce. Because she literally wraps the world around her finger. Like,
statistically, scientifically proven, will do that anytime she does anything.
Has like categorically changed multiple industries by simply the way she releases her albums. So like...
And what bothers me about the Billy Eichner thing too is like he's positing that... Like what is this specific... What is this specific thing he's positing? That there is a mainstream-ish, largely produced, marketed by a major distribution company, gay rom-com that's not too serious, but is serious enough. Like, what is that he's saying? Because it's not the first gay movie. It's not the first, like, gay rom-com. It's not the first anything, really. It's just that it's popular and he's kind of popular. I don't get what the cross to bear is here. Like, what I think is happening is that they expect a lot of money and they bet and they put a lot of money on him. And he probably feels like he's lost a lot of credibility that the studios probably gave him. And that must be rough. Because they expected, I think we have it from the New York Times, they expected 30 to 40 million opening weekend. And it made 4.8 million. Again, that's like almost a tenth of what they were expecting.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad.
So, like, that would have me on the edge of death, because I would know my career and the people that gave me a lot of money and spent a lot of time with me probably hate me and are never going to work with me again. So yeah. I too would probably be tweeting similar things.
Like we talk about the Try Guys, it ultimately comes down to money and it is just business.
It costs $22 million to
speaking
make.
Speaking of business,
so,
before we get into flop. Kim, before we get into Kim, let's do, before, sorry, before we get into Britney, let's do Kim business okay. Real quick. So
sure.
This is from the SEC. So I first got this from People last week who said, according to Business Insider, an ad was posted on the Kardashian Jenner's Instagram story in June 2021, reading, quote, "Are you guys into crypto? This is not financial advice, but just sharing with me what friends told me about the Ethereum Max token." We did talk about this actually the first week we came back. A few minutes ago, Ethereum Max burned 400 trillion tokens, literally 50% of their admin wallet, giving back to the entire Emacs community, she reportedly added at the time, which is just like a... In hindsight, and a statistically wild thing to hear Kim Kardashian say about like minting 50 trillion tokens out of their admin wallet.
Oh, okay, like ma'am, I don't know what that means. Like,
okay. So that was the original thing which we talked about. So this is from the SEC. October 3rd, 2022, quote, "The Securities and Exchange Commission today announced charges against Kim Kardashian for touting on social media a crypto asset security offered and sold by Ethereum Max without disclosing the payment she received for the promotion. Kardashian agreed to settle the charges, pay $1.26 million in penalties, disgorgement, and interest, and cooperate with the commission's ongoing investigation. The SEC's order finds that the Kardashian failed to disclose that she was paid $250,000 to publish a post on her Instagram account about Emacs tokens, the crypto security being offered by Ethereum Max. Kardashian's post contained a link to the Ethereum Max website, which provided instructions for potential investors to purchase Emacs tokens. This case is a reminder that, quote, when celebrities or influencers endorse investment opportunities, including crypto asset securities, it doesn't mean that those investment products are right for all investors," said SEC Chair Gary Gensler. "We encourage investors to consider an investment's potential risks and opportunities in light of their financial goals. Ms. Kardashian's case also serves as a reminder to celebrities and others that the law requires them to disclose to the public when and how much they are paid to promote investing in securities. The federal securities laws are clear that any celebrity or other individual who promotes a crypto asset security must disclose the nature, source, and amount of compensation they received in exchange for the promotion, said Gerber C. Gruel, director of the SEC's Division of Enforcement. Investors, quote, are titled to know whether the publicity of a security is unbiased, and Ms. Kardashian failed to disclose this information. The SEC's order also finds that Kardashian, this is still from the SEC press release, violated the anti-touting provision of the federal securities law. Without admitting or denying the SEC's findings, Kardashian agreed to pay the aforementioned $1.26 million, including approximately $260 in disgorgement, which represents her promotional payment plus prejudgment interest, and a $1 million penalty. Kardashian also agreed to not promote any crypto asset securities for 3 years. The SEC's investigation, which is continuing, is being conducted, and then they list a bunch of people. So the SEC statement urging caution regarding potentially unlawful celebrity-backed crypto asset offerings can be found here at a link. The SEC Chair Gensler today published a video warning investors not to make investment decisions based solely on recommendations of a celebrity or influencer. And then this is from People, quote, Ms. Kardashian is pleased to have resolved this matter with the SEC, the Skims founder lawyer says in a statement obtained by People. Kardashian fully cooperated with the SEC from the very beginning, and she remains willing to do whatever to assist the SEC in this matter. She wanted to get this matter behind her to avoid a protracted dispute. The agreement she reached with the SEC allows her to do that so that she can move forward with her many different business pursuits.
I love the language of that.
So I don't really care about the crypto stuff. She wanted to get here from the beginning. Like, we've talked about a million influencers failing to dislike to cite certain
she
things.
She quite literally just had to say hashtag ad, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's all she had to say, or pay partnership.
But what's interesting is what's more interesting to me about all of this, and I think it kind of goes into, like, the true crime stuff, is that, like, when you are operating at a level that Kim is operating at now, like, she's not sorry that she did this, and there's ultimately no real penalty besides the fact that she can't just, like, promote more she can't promote more crypto for 3 years. Like, that's really the only penalty, because what is $1.6 million to Kim Kardashian, right?
Oh,
nothing.
No, but I'm sure she's mad about it. But
she made it this month.
Yeah, at least. I mean, the fact she gained $250K for an Instagram post. Oh my God.
Like, but that's what I'm saying is, like, she, like, it doesn't ultimately matter to her that this happened, right? Like, like, she had to pay a bunch of fines. Like, yes, that's true. But they ultimately, the law is not set up to, like, stop this from happening again.
Oh no.
And her statement is like, oh yes, this was just like a matter with the SEC, but it's all taken care
of. This is one of those crimes, like all white collar crime, where they won't really do anything about it. You just gotta pay a fine. They're like, oh, she's cooperating with them. I'm like, she's paying a fine. She's cooperating by giving her wire transfer info so she can pay this bill.
The government's just like extorting her to pay the salaries of like top brass at the SEC. Like, ultimately nothing happened here, right? Like,
exactly.
You and I were not served by this. The people that she scammed
into
buying this.
There's no mark on her record here. Like, nothing really matters.
They don't get any damages from this like fucking scam that she was
promoting. Oh, and I'm sure she gets away with this all the time. And this is just one of the things with like, oh, well, finally, gotta pay it.
Okay, so then we also have this thing about her podcast. What the fuck is going on here?
So, it's awful. So, Kim Kardashian debuts a new true crime podcast. Hint, it's terrible. So, this is getting from eTalk and some other sources. So, attorney in training and Skims entrepreneur, Kim Kardashian has made headlines in recent years for, as we know, advocating for the release of nonviolent criminal offenders. We all know about this pivot she has done to true crime adjacent, social justice, carceral kind of conversations, et cetera, et cetera. So she has a new podcast that is fully branded with just her face all over it. And it's a Spotify exclusive called The System, The Case of Kevin Keith. Full disclosure, I do not know enough about this case to say whether or not the way she's tackling or the take she has is like radically wrong or like radically different. And I also obviously warning here, there is like some violence and some racialized, things that are going on in this story that might be triggering to some people. So just a heads up on that, but we'll be pretty quick about it. So throughout the 8-episode series that just dropped earlier in October, new episodes are out every Monday. Two of the victims of Kevin Keith, the person that they are, that Kim Kardashian is trying to basically exonerate, say that they were never contacted at all by Kim and her team and to, you know, talk about at all the convicted murderer who brutalized them. So speaking of the Daily Mail, Juanita and Quentin Reeves, who were two of the six people shot by Keith in 1994, said, quote, "Kim did not contact us, not one time. If Kim Kardashian wants to get involved, she should have come and meet us face to face." Quentin said also, "We saw it with our own eyes. We don't forget something like that. I don't care what Kim Kardashian says. Kevin did it." This is a thing that we've seen many times with shows and podcasts and people getting involved in these kind of stories. Both Juanita and Quentin, who were 6 and 4 at the time, were shot in the stomach by Keith and say that Kim's attempt to exonerate their current assailant shows a lack of interest in the facts. They said, quote, "Why doesn't Kim Kardashian come out here to Ohio? She doesn't want to hear from us. She wants to get him out and make her look better. That's the truth. We should have been the first call. Kevin gets to sit in jail and become a celebrity. Meanwhile, we're out here dealing with this our entire lives. It's crazy." the production team behind the podcast did release a statement to TMZ saying that they did allegedly reach out to the Reeves, but were rebuffed. They said, quote, "The production team of the system made multiple attempts to reach out to the Reeves siblings. At the time, they decided not to share their story and requested that we no longer contact them. If they have reconsidered, we welcome them to sit down for the podcast at any time." Weird language. I don't know really who to believe in this. I'm definitely going to side probably more with the people that were directly involved in this incident than the people that make this podcast for Kim, because like we just talked about before with Kim, they don't really follow the rules very often. Kim, of course, on her side of things, has said that she makes it pretty clear that she believes Keith was convicted by an all-white jury of triple homicide, is innocent. She says directly to Keith in the first episode, quote, "I'm really hopeful for this podcast just to get your story out there because I think it's important for people to understand that our system is so fucked up. The case of Kevin Keith is deeply twisted and incredibly heartbreaking from all sides." She says this in a promo for a show, which also includes a brief clip of a conversation between her and Keith. She also posted in a recent tweet, you know, just in promotion for the show, "I've heard about this case 3 years ago and I've been questioning it ever since. Join me to learn more about Kevin Keith on a Story and Podcast on Spotify every Monday." The podcast, by the way, is so popular that it has actually somehow knocked Joe Rogan, Even Call Her Daddy, off the top spot in Spotify exclusive podcast. So messy, gross, weird, hate it. Just something to keep an eye on in a sense with Kim.
I don't even like,
I don't have really a take on it either.
I don't have a take on like the innocence or the guilt.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the
really
case.
Really, I think I'm mostly just like wanting to put a pin in this because we haven't even heard the podcast. So like, I don't want to make any judgments, but I do think that this is obviously Kim capitalizing on something.
Well, here's the thing.
And also setting up her gubernatorial run.
Like, now they don't really care about the truth of the case or the truth of the people that are claiming she didn't contact them. Like, I wouldn't be shocked. I'm going to probably side with them, but like, I don't care enough and know enough to really say, don't take any of our opinions here as facts, obviously. But in general, the one thing that I kind of wanted to say was a lot of people in general were just already fed up about this in general because, well, one, the true crime epidemic of podcasting is already so oversaturated. It's like, how are we going to do this? Kim Kardashian is not qualified enough. We know that already.
And I actually the show that she's not basing this off of, but that was the preamble to this, her prison reform show.
Oh, yeah.
Well, her prison reform special that she did.
Yeah.
I reviewed it for Jezebel. You can go back and you can look for that if you're one of the listeners. And it was the same thing that I had said about that, where I was like, she's not qualified to talk about this. She's wrong. And it's also just like sensationalism. It's not like actual help. And also we saw like when she did stuff with the White House for Trump, it was like a segue to get Uber in the White House.
Right. Like the whole thing with Trump as well. It's like
she was like, oh, Uber is going to give rides.
You just want to put your face on here. And that's
but also Uber was in the middle of a protracted labor dispute with its employees. And now they're like in the White House being photographed with Donald Trump doing some like glitzy, like pro-prison reform bullshit.
And of course the promo for this podcast,
not prison reform is bullshit, but like,
yeah, of course, of
scam
course.
yeah
with the way she's involved. And of course the promo for this show and podcast all over the place is just her face like in a glam shot like you would see on Instagram with like a black background. It's just like so tasteless and it's gross. And maybe when we see more about it or see more as this develops, we'll talk more about it. But yeah, just wanted to bring that up real quick. But yeah, what else do we got?
Okay, Lena Dunham girl. Are you ready for Lena Dunham?
Sure.
Lena Dunham is facing major backlash after publicly stating that she wants her coffin to be driven in the New York City Pride Parade after she dies.
This Those tweets six. Were... Quote,
when I go, I want my casket to be driven through the NYC Pride Parade with a plaque that reads, she wasn't for everyone, but she was for us. Who can arrange? Okay.
But is she not wrong? Like,
it's funny, wrong. Right? It's funny.
It is funny.
Yes, when she's saying it, I'm thinking about her dad's art and also her mom's weird doll art. Yes, I'm thinking about it.
Oh my God, never
Yes,
forget.
It's in my brain. Yes, the horse with the vagina that it's like staring at you through. It's like the horse
pussy is like the main goal of the art piece. Like, let's just visualize it. And put it into but big
what if
paint.
The horse's vagina had a face? And what if you stared directly into the face in the horse's vagina?
And then you have her mom being like, why?
And then the guy, his dick is also on the horse. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. And then the mom making like weird porcelain doll art.
Yeah, and this like weird fetish of like the Japanese use of like sex dolls, which is just giving very like, stay out of this business. Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing?
But like, I guess when she talks, that's all I think about, right? Like, it's literally all I think about. But it's a funny tweet. It's literally just like a funny tweet.
It is funny.
It's not life or death. No one died.
No one cares.
But did you die? Yeah. Well, no, Matt. People care.
That's true.
Do you want to read some of these tweets?
Let's do that.
Maybe they should drive your...
Continue.
Okay. Maybe they should drive your casket around in a bus like the one you threw LGBTQIA sex workers under. Girl, no, we don't claim you like that.
I love the
why are you centering yourself over marginalized folks, even in death? I wouldn't expect anything better from you.
Because she literally is knocking over the graves of others to have this casket.
I think the point of the parade is really supposed to be about LGBTQ pride than Lena Dunham. This might be a good idea if it was a Lena Dunham parade. Another. You actually aren't for anyone except older millennials who keep getting kicked out of social spaces for saying slurs. Pride is for us, not gratifying the egos of straight people who see us as accessories.
Well, again, she isn't for everybody. She is just for those millennials who keep getting kicked out of social spaces for saying slurs. She wasn't wrong.
But did anyone die? Like, that's all I can think about. It's like, but did you die?
Oh,
but did you
God.
Die?
Amazing.
But did you die? Okay, the Venn diagram of people who are mad at Lena Dunham about this and urgently tweeting about the Try Guys, it's a circle. It's a circle, Matt.
That we're inside of.
It's a circle. And I'm hula hooping with it.
amazing. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Is that the sound a hula hoop makes?
Yeah, don't you ever have the ones with like the
ring
beads?
In the middle?
No,
yeah.
No, with the beads inside that like.
It's like whoosh, it's more like zing, zing, zing.
No. You never had the ones with like beads inside?
Yeah.
That when you hooped, about. They made that like whoosh, whoosh.
See, I'm not hearing a whoosh. I'm hearing like a zing sound, like a rolling, like a metal on metal.
No, it's not metal. It was like plastic beads.
It's true. They must have been plastic.
And it was like kind of like, it was like a.
Like the rain stick kind of things where you like turn upside down.
No, it wasn't that noise.
It wasn't that. Okay.
No. It was like when you do a, like a shaker, like a.
Yes,
the sound of the hula hoop.
The sound of the Venn diagram.
Me hula hooping with it. That part's important to the joke. Don't ruin my bit. Okay, so what the fuck is going on with Britney?
Okay, this is kind of a little bit depressing, but she posted this comprehensive iOS press release, if you will, that I had to get on from Page Six because, as usual, she deletes it within hours of posting. But thankfully, everyone takes a screenshot. So again, getting this from Page Six, the caption of the post before the actual, it's truly just Notes app text. But here's the caption before that. Wonder what the secret is? What y'all be hiding? Come on, wise father. You want to sit down for 4 months, expose my body to nurses while shower me like a fucking dog, bullying me with their questions, never able to put it on them and ask them for questions. Come on, father. You want to sit your granddaughters, Maddie and Ivy, in a chair 10 hours a day, having people fuck with their head for 4 months, big security at my door. No, ma'am, you can't leave. We didn't know you had anything to do. I did nothing wrong. Why did you and the family go along with it and treat me like a fucking dog. What makes you so goddamn special? What makes your other daughter so goddamn special that you treated me less than a fucking dog? Every morning I wake up and every night before I go to sleep, I pray to God to just get 5 minutes of the pain I felt in that place for 4 months. I pray you burn in hell, you sorry son of a bitch. So that's just the caption. We have much more going on here. So again, just as you can probably assume, content warning here for just some abuse and other things that she's alleging here. She says, I've always wondered how pretty people think. I used to feel pretty, therefore I was calm, content, not trying, and then I felt like a hot, wild mess. I felt, and I felt so alive in the wild days. It was hot, but then in the conservatorship, I felt absolutely nothing. I was sad, had no say in my looks and photo shoots, had to follow guidelines, no being a sassy pants, and no speaking up. I will say it until the day I fucking die. My family ruined my fucking life. I would go to London to promote my clothing line, and my boyfriend couldn't even come with me. But my mom and dad stayed in our room together when I was there in London. They treated me like a dog. Yep, and don't get me started on that place they sent me to. Sorry, I will never get over it. Anyways, the way they made me feel, my dad always told me I was fat, so I never felt pretty or good enough. And I think the thing that made me feel the ugliest was the fear of being scared of what he would do. I looked uneasy, unattractive, not my skin. I never felt like I did when I was 17 and had a secret boyfriend. He was never a father to me because he was always drunk. The reason I'm talking about this is because I know I try to present myself as being perfect and pretty, but it's because I know what it feels like to feel ugly and scared, to be told there's no looking at that face of yours. You should read the book, The Uglies. It's hot. The play Wicked is life-changing. I cried so hard when I saw it. Glenda the Good Witch with bubbles was brilliant, but the girl nobody liked, everyone laughed at her and made fun of her. Then the best part of that whole play, silence, you could hear a needle drop, and in that moment of silence, I was 30 feet away from her in the audience, but I felt her more than anything I'd ever felt in my life. Tears, 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 I cried. I felt her, not in a, I feel bad for you kind of way, but deeper than that. I was genuinely touched by her. She spiritually went through all my flesh, bones, and blood and awakened my heart. They painted her as an ugly green face, but she was beautiful. It's a shame men care about looks. Come on, we all know it. It's the truth. But to me, I'm working on how I feel inside, my posture, my body language, my breathing. When it's time to speak, it's time to listen. And when it's time to roar, I hope one day I can find my essence of feeling beautiful. My father did an extensive job at always making me feel otherwise. He would go low. He was the lowest. I used to only have two girl dancers with me in every show I did. When my dad came along, I had 8 girl dancers. I was always in white and they were in black. Great entertainment eye candy for all the men that I dated, but that's not the low part. He told me my boyfriend's body was perfect and I needed to work on myself because I wasn't fit. What father tells his daughter that her boyfriend has a perfect body and I have a lot of work to do? I mean, yes, his body was way better than mine. I knew that, but I don't think I looked that bad. My family made me feel like I wasn't good enough, or I will just say that they are better than me. My boyfriend and sister going out to cute places, drinking coffee when I couldn't for 2 years. What made them so goddamn special? Do other people secretly like feeling better than another person? Why? What goes through someone's mind to be that hateful? Why? I mean to myself, but I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm mean to myself, but I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Anyways, of course I shared this pretty picture today because I needed to see it, but I've been scared, hurt, and felt extremely alone. I saw this picture and said, wow, how did I used to think when I was pretty? Do pretty people think differently? How do I feel when I wake up in the morning? Would men respect me more if I felt pretty like that again? And also, do some men also feed on making the person they love feel like absolutely nothing and ugly? Women who dream the highest will unfortunately always learn the greed and envy of men. Anyways, ladies, feel beautiful today. Love you.
Wow. Whew. Couldn't have said it better myself.
We've said this a million times, and she doesn't need to do it. She doesn't owe us it. She doesn't owe anyone anything. But if she ever writes a book, it would be so visceral. Like, the way that we talked about this before, the way she writes these stories and, like, the details she remembers are always so intense. And, like, you can tell she's processing so much, but has been aware for a very long time of this behavior. And it's just, yeah, it's really insane to see. Nothing I'm to say just, on that. Like,
I'm just like so proud of her. Yeah, I have nothing else to say. I think that's enough for now because we did give them an hour and a half episode.
Oh, absolutely.
In girl. The main feed. So
absolutely, girl.
You guys are getting bite-sized leftovers.
Yeah.
Go watch Real Girlfriends in Paris, as always.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Please.
We'll have to talk about that next week.
We'll do.
It's going to be amazing.
And we'll have a proper leftovers next week. We did like such a jumbo episode this week that there wasn't much to talk about else, because not really anything but the Try Guys is going on in the news anyways. But we will be back next week with regular Hot Topics, God willing. And we'll see you all soon. Go watch Real Girlfriends in Paris.
We can't say it enough.
We cannot say it enough. Margot, I just want to say it now. I could fix her. I could fix her. I also want to smoke. I want to smoke inside with her.
Oh, absolutely. Me too.
I want to be like the poor friend that she brings everywhere, like as her assistant. Like, let's go summer in France.
She's really dedicated to the craft.
I just obsessed that her Chiron describes her as a global citizen when it asks, like, you know, it says like global Victoria, citizen. Texas, USA. Like,
and like it'll say global citizen. Anyway, nothing, I can't. I'm also still thinking about that friend of ours who went to school with Casey, and
we can't
say anything about that. I won't say a thing, but all I can say is
it makes sense.
Did not disappoint. All right.
Okay.
Let's go. Here. Two, one.
Hi, my name is Britney Spears and fuck my dad.
Come on. If you know the words, let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
A red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.